Listeners, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported, hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Antonia, I'm 15, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Emily, I'm also from Hudson. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So, Emily and myself, and sometimes some other people, are here every Monday from 3:30 to 4 p.m. talking about books. Books we love, books we're currently reading, or like currently reading, all that good stuff. And today, we have something very special for you guys. We're gonna do story time.
With Yay! Antonia.
With Antonia, because she's awesome.
It's true.
Yeah. So we have one of my personal favorite, and
mine too.
And Emily's as well. Our favorite children's book, or an I can read book, yes. Called Frog and Toad Are Friends by Arnold Lobel and
Lobel.
Lobel. Lobel.
Lobel.
Lobel. Lobel. Fancy. And yeah, I mean, I know so many people who love these books because they're great. Mm-hmm. My favorite was the winter one. But you know, today, since it's spring, we're going to read the spring one. And it's very exciting. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. It's called Spring. Frog ran up the path to Toad's house. He knocked on the front door. Knock, knock. There was no answer. Toad, Toad, shouted Frog. Wake up! It is spring! Blah, said a voice from inside the house. Toad, Toad, cried Frog. The sun is shining. The snow is melting. Wake up! I am not here, said the voice. Frog walked into the house. It was dark. All the shutters were closed. Toad, where are you? Called Frog. Go away, said the voice, from a corner of the room. Toad was lying in bed. He had pulled all the covers over his head. Frog pushed Toad out of bed. He pushed him out of the house and onto the front porch. Toad blinked in the bright sun. "Help," said Toad. "I cannot see anything." "Don't be silly," said Frog. "What you see is the clear, warm light of April, and it means that we can begin a whole new year together, Toad." "Think of it," said Frog. "We will skip through the meadows and run through the woods and swim in the river. In the evening, we will sit right here on this front porch and count the stars." "You can count them, Frog," said Toad. "I will be too tired. I am going back to bed." Toad went back into the house. He got into the bed and pulled the covers over his head again. "But Toad," cried Frog, "you will miss all the fun." "Listen, Frog," said Toad. "How long have I been asleep?" "You have been asleep since November," said Frog. "Well then," said Toad, "a little more sleep will not hurt me. Come back again and wake me up in about May 1st. Good night, Frog." "But Toad," said Frog, I will be lonely until then." Toad did not answer. He had fallen asleep. Frog looked at Toad's calendar. The November page was still on top. Frog tore the November page. He tore off the December page, and the January page, the February page, and the March page. He came to the April page. Frog tore off the April page, too. Then Frog ran back to Toad's bed. "Toad, Toad, wake up! It is May now." "What?" said Toad. "Can it be May so soon?" "Yes," said Frog. "Look at your calendar." Toad looked at the calendar. The May page was on top. "Why, it is May," said Toad, as he climbed out of bed. Then he and Frog ran outside to see how the world was looking in the spring.
Aw, so sweet.
So nice. But Frog is such a little dingus. He totally lied to him, like, rude.
Yeah. I guess his reasoning was good.
It was, yes.
Perhaps a bit selfish. Yeah. Maybe Toad needs the sleep.
I definitely feel Toad's pain, though. He's quite a relatable character, yeah.
You want to just sleep a little longer?
All the time. That was so nice. Yeah, Frog and Toad, man, they're pretty great. But you know what else is great?
What?
Agatha Christie.
That's true.
Yeah. So, Emily's got some stuff to talk about, yeah?
Yeah. I've been reading an Agatha Christie book. I was really into Agatha Christie when I was in, like, middle school and high school. And then I didn't read her for a long time. And then started reading her again a few years back. And so I decided it was time to read one more. So I've been reading Five Little Pigs, which is an Hercule Poirot mystery. Mm-hmm. He was one of Agatha Christie's famed detectives. He's a Belgian detective. I forget how many books. Oh, yes. 33 novels, one play, and more than 50 short stories with this guy. Ooh. So
she liked him.
He solved quite a few mysteries in his day. And so this one, Five Little Pigs, was originally released as Murder in Retrospect back in 1942. And it's Murder in Retrospect because it's a mystery that took place 16 years before the present day in this book that he's trying to solve. So 16 years prior, an artist named Amyas Krail was murdered. His beer was poisoned. Ooh. And his wife, Caroline, was accused of his murder and prosecuted and sentenced to life in prison. But within a year of her sentencing, she passed away in prison.
Aww.
And their five-year-old daughter had been shipped off to Canada to, like, sort of start a new life, you know, since her dad was dead and her mother was in prison. But now this five-year-old is now 16 years older, so she's 21, and she's engaged, and she's worried that her fiancé will be terrified to marry her, worrying that her mother's evil temperament will be passed down. So, so on top of that, she had received a letter as an adult that her mother had written her on her deathbed that claimed that she was innocent. So she wants this mystery solved. She wants to know. She believes that her mother is innocent, and she wants Hercule Poirot to solve the murder, figure out who really did it, prove her mother's innocence.
Who done it?
So that her fiancé will be convinced that she's not crazy and murderous. So Hercule Poirot goes off and starts his investigation, and he comes up with five people that could be considered suspects. So that's where Five Little Pigs comes in. He starts getting the nursery rhyme in his head. So the five characters are two brothers who were friends of the Krills. One is a stockbroker, and one was an amateur herbalist. And he was the one whose quinine got stolen from his laboratory. That was, or it was, that was the origination of the poison, was from his lab, his chem lab. And then there's the this artist who was murdered. Was having an affair with his one of his subjects of one of his paintings, who was staying at the house at the time. So she's one of the suspects. And then the sister of the woman who was accused of the crime is a suspect. And then the governess of the young girl. Those were sort of the people that were at the house at the time of the murder.
What's a governess?
She took care of the young girl.
Okay.
Yeah. Like Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
Who was the other Julie Andrews character in Sound of Music.
Yeah.
She was the governess. So he, the way that the book's structured, he meets individually with each of them and, you know, talks to them about their memories. And then he asks them all to kind of share a narrative of what they remember of the crime. And then in the end, there's, you know, he concludes what's going on. So it's interesting because you're seeing it's a, he doesn't have access to the crime scene because it was 16 years ago. So all he has are these memories of people, whether honest or not. And, you know, memories fade some and change some. So, and how everybody sees a certain event also is different based on their past and their experiences and their beliefs. So you get similar stories, but some differences and.
Had you read this book before?
I had not read this one before. So I'm actually not quite done with it. So I don't know who did it yet.
I'll be interested.
Yeah, I can't wait to find out. I remember reading these throughout the years. I very rarely am ever able to figure out who did it.
Yeah,
there's like one time that I remember figuring it out, and I felt so smart.
Yeah,
it's like I knew it. I figured it out.
Yeah, that's me every time I watch or read anything, and I don't know. My mom always knows who they are. They're all like, "Oh, it was that person." How? Why?
I have guesses for this one, but every time I say, "Oh, it's got to be one of these two people," I'm like, "Well, I guess it could be that other person."
And every time I always guess the person who they like want you to guess, and then. But then I think, wait, no, that's the person they want you to guess, so then I should guess someone else. And then sometimes it actually is that person. Oh, it's terrible. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a fun read, though.
It looks fun. Had you read other ones with that detective guy?
Yes, the last one that I read by her, which I read, I think, in the fall, maybe it was in the winter, was Cat Among the Pigeons.
Yeah.
Which was really fun, set at a boarding school. I'm trying to remember which other ones I've read. The ABC Murders is great. Murder on the Orient Express. I want to read some of the plays. They seem fun. But I like him as a detective.
Yeah. Is he a nice guy?
I guess so. But I don't know. I just find him.
That sounds like a ridiculous number of. Did how many books did she write?
She wrote a lot of books. I don't know the exact number.
Too many.
Too many?
Never too many.
I don't know.
That's lovely.
but she is, according to the back of the book, she's the most widely published author of all time, outsold only by the Bible and Shakespeare.
Oh, wow. Really?
Mm-hmm. Her books have sold more than 1 billion copies in English and another 1 billion in 100 foreign languages.
There's 1 billion languages in the world?
No, 100 foreign languages is what it's been published. And there's more than 100 foreign languages, but...
I thought you said 1 billion.
1 billion copies.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got you, Emily.
A lot of numbers there.
Yeah. Too many. Too much math. I can't handle that.
Yeah. But I'm interested in watching more. There's a popular television series that the BBC's been doing for years. That's called Poirot. There's also a Marple series, which is another one of his detectives.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched, after I read Cat Among the Pigeons, I watched the TV version of Cat Among the Pigeons. It was kind of fun to watch, see how they changed little things or kind of see how it was, how they envisioned it. It's fun.
Have there been lots of like movies and stuff made out of her books?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how many of them are sort of like TV movies versus mm-hmm. movies for the that are designed for the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when I watched them as a kid, I didn't really know
what
they were originally made for. But I remember seeing And Then There Were None when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. That was one of my first books that I read by her. And then there's also a Bollywood version of that one called Gumnam. That's awesome.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Emily's really excited. Yeah. Bollywood.
It's a good thing. I like Bollywood adaptations. They're fun.
Bollywood is nice. Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't imagine that Bollywood ever did an adaptation of Frog and Toad.
Not that I know of. They should.
They should. That would be pretty great. But we have another Frog and Toad that we're going to read because Frog and Toad are awesome. And
they're friends.
They're friends, yes. Frog and Toad are friends. This is the last one in that little book. And it's called The Letter. And it goes like this. Toad was sitting on his porch. Frog came along and said, "What is the matter, Toad? You are looking sad." "Yes," said Toad, "this is my sad time of day. It is the time when I sit and wait for the mail to come. It always makes me very unhappy." "Why is that?" asked Frog. "Because I never get any mail," said Toad. "Not ever?" asked Frog. "No, never," said Toad. "No one has ever sent me a letter. Every day my mailbox is empty. That is why waiting for the mail is a sad time for me." Frog and Toad sat on the porch, feeling sad together. Then Frog said, "I have to go home now, Toad. There is something that I must do." Frog hurried home. He found a pencil and a piece of paper. He wrote on the paper. He put the paper in an envelope. On the envelope he wrote, "A letter for Toad." Frog ran out of his house. He saw a snail that he knew. "Snail," said Frog, "please take this letter to Toad's house and put it in his mailbox." "Sure," said the snail, "right away." Then Frog went back to Toad's house. Toad was in bed, taking a nap. "Toad," said Frog, "I think you should get up and wait for the mail some more." "No," said Toad, "I am tired of waiting for the mail." Frog looked out of the window at Toad's mailbox. The snail was not there yet. "Toad," said Frog, "you never know when someone may send you a letter." "No, no," said Toad, "I do not think anyone will ever send me a letter." Frog looked out of the window. The snail was not there yet. "But Toad," said Frog, "someone may send you a letter today." "Don't be silly," said Toad. "No one has ever sent me a letter before, and no one will send me a letter today." Frog looked out of the window. The snail was still not there. "Frog, why do you keep looking out of the window?" asked Toad. "Because now I am waiting for the mail," said Frog. "But there will not be any," said Toad. "Oh, yes, there will," said Frog, "because I have sent you a letter." "You have?" said Toad. "What did you write in the letter?" Frog said, "I wrote, 'Dear Toad, I am glad that I am your best friend, that you are my best friend, your best friend, Frog.'" "Oh," said Toad, That makes a very good letter. Then Frog and Toad went out onto the front porch to wait for the mail. They sat there, feeling happy, together. Frog and Toad waited a long time. 4 days later, the snail got to Toad's house and gave him the letter from Frog. Toad was very pleased to have it.
That's so nice.
So sweet.
Gosh. Maybe if Toad would have gotten out of bed and got a plate in the spring, he might have made a friend who would have written him a letter. But he already had one, so good for him. That's so nice. Oh, the snail is so cute. I wish you guys could see the cute pictures.
I think I love the picture of Frog and Toad waiting on the porch together.
I know, it's so cute.
They're so happy.
It's adorable.
They're such good friends.
Oh, look at them. Yes, this is very cute. It reminds me of, I have a friend who also loves Frog and Toad, and we write each other's letters, and now I'm very happy that there's a Frog and Toad about Frog and Toad writing each other letters, and it feels so relatable, you know? All these stories, they're so nice. And I love the illustrations. That looks like a real frog, you know? That's how frogs really look if they wore clothes. So nice.
Mm-hmm.
So content. Wow.
So do you remember reading these stories when you were a kid?
I do. I remember reading many, many, many of them. And also Little Bear.
Aw, Little Bear.
Little Bear, I think, came after Frog and Toad.
I can read books nearly enough.
Yeah, they're so great.
But there's some that are very, very special.
Yeah.
Like I love the Arnold Lobel ones. I love Grasshopper on the Road.
Yeah.
By Arnold Lobel.
Oh, you think you're so cool because you know the Grasshopper on the Road book.
It's a great book. You should read it.
Maybe I will. Maybe I will.
I think you would like the Grasshopper.
Oh, yay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked Frog and Toad a lot. And also Little Bear. I don't know. I can't think of... What were the other I can read books?
There's that guy Eastman. He wrote some... I forget his first name. It's like letters. Mm-hmm. Well, it's confusing because I knew a P.J. Eastman growing up, so I keep thinking it's P.J. Yeah. Eastman, but I think it's something else.
Yeah?
I think it's like P.D.
Eastman. What if you knew P.J. Eastman?
And I did know P.J. Eastman.
What if it is P.J. Eastman and you didn't know that you knew Eastman?
That would be shocking because he was my sister's age.
Well, what
and
if?
He wrote books that we read as children.
Well, still.
But that would be pretty cool. I do remember reading, I remember the section of the library that had these books, and I remember feeling so smart when I was able to go to that shelf and pick out a book to read, and I could read it myself.
Yeah, I know, I remember doing that too.
And it was like my first chapter book.
Yeah, same, it was great. So
and I think especially as the younger daughter in the family.
Uh-huh.
It was like this accomplishment where I was like, I can read chapter books just like my sister. I don't have to just be read to.
That was the same as me, though, even though I'm an only child, but it was the same, like, wow, a chapter book. There's like multiple words on this page. And it felt very wonderful and special. Yeah.
Cool.
There should be. Yeah. They're great.
Story time is fun.
It is. We should do it more often.
Last week was Children's Book Week.
It was, yes.
And it was a nice excuse to think about some old favorites from my childhood.
Yeah.
And some new favorites, too.
I read a great book last night, and it was called... it was called Cowboy Baby, and it was also a children's book. I don't remember who it was by. And it's about this little baby, and he's a cowboy, and he wants to go to bed. And no, he doesn't. Sheriff Pa wants him to go to bed, but Cowboy Baby does not want to go to bed. No siree. And so he has to go and look for his dog and his, like toys first, and there's only, like, three toys. And then he finds them, and then his dad is like, I'll catch a star. And then they catch a star. It's really gay. It's so cute. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I like that book.
I find it interesting that as an adult that reads a lot of teen fiction, there's often articles about this or people saying stuff about how it's weird or wrong for adults to read things that are meant for younger people because they should be reading,
that.
Like, better fiction or better mm-hmm. literature. And I think that's just silly myself because yeah. I feel like I can read these children's books and yeah. get as much or more out of them than a book that's meant for adults.
Definitely. Yeah. And I don't know, I also don't like articles that are like, oh, teens should be reading stuff for their own age. They can't handle all this, like, adult literature mm-hmm. and content and stuff. Like, what?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I feel like that speaks more to me than, like, something about, like, I don't know, that's not as good, but, like, high quality, I guess. But then also sometimes, like, everyone should read everything all the time. It's wonderful. I don't know. I don't like people telling people what they should and shouldn't be reading.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Nobody ever told me not to read Agatha Christie when I was in high school.
Oh, good.
Or Stephen King when I was in middle school.
Yikes.
Maybe they should have. Yeah, it wasn't that scary. I survived.
So fancy.
Yeah. Sorry, before we hand it off to the afternoon show, is there anything you're excited about reading in the near future? I know there's something you're talking about next week that you're currently reading. But
yes,
do you
but
have
I'm
anything less
about
next
that.
On your list?
You know, I did, and I was really excited about it, and I don't remember what it was. Like, I was... Oh, yeah. I'm gonna, as soon as somebody decides to lend it to me, because I have a friend and I have to go to their house to get it first, but I want to read Ubik by Philip K. Dick, or Ubik.
I was like, who's that by? I can't remember.
Yeah. Because I read another one of his books. I read Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, and it was great. That's the book that the movie Blade Runner was based on.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, this one apparently is... even better, I've heard. So, I'm looking forward to that.
Do you know what it's about, or are you just going to dive in blind? Just fun sometimes.
You know, I've been told what it was about, like, 3 times, and I still don't understand what it's about. So I feel like I'm
So you have a little of both.
Yeah.
A little yeah. of a dive, and a little mm-hmm. maybe in the back of your head.
It's kind of like jumping, maybe not like so much diving, but, like, maybe, like, a pencil dive, you know, where you're not mm-hmm. completely, like, woo, but you're just kind of, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Emily?
I have 3, sort of. I'm currently listening to Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Which I watched the television show, mm-hmm. and the books came highly suggested from her friend, Garrett.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I decided to finally listen to that. And then I want to read a P.G. Wodehouse book, because I've never read him before, and he's one of my dad's favorite authors. And then there's a new Neil Schusterman book called Challenger Deep. That one's going to be a dive because I don't really know what it's about.
Yeah.
But I've heard it's very good.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited for that one.
I miss Garrett.
So many books.
So many.